All right. Well, we've had Andrew's already touched very much on this. Perhaps I could ask Greg Cruz. Have you got any comments on this sort of issue, Greg, as to the way you approached it on TI?
Obviously, the number of staff you've got on deck is a big factor as to whether you're reactive or proactive.
Yes.
You know, quite often, even with full staffing, you can only be reactive, depending on what's going on. But certainly over my years as OC, the number of staff I had on board affected whether my station was going in a reactive or proactive way. That probably affected it more than anything.
Do you find when you've got the luxury, if I can use that term, of staff and time to be able to be proactive, that you get a better relationship with your community and a better reaction from your community because of that?
Certainly. And the proactive work doesn't have to be enforcement all the time.
No.
Like in the Straits, when I was up there, we had the luxury of some extra staff for a while, and we started to do driver's licence testing on the Outer Islands, which... saved a lot of the people, the airfares to come in and do it. So that certainly, I felt it was a great thing for the police to be involved in. But again, it depended on the level of staffing as to, because that's not our core policing issue work. We have responsibilities elsewhere. We could only do that when we have sufficient staffing.
If I can ask Mark to go on with other ways of... addressing crime problems.
The second thing I wanted to mention is related to problem solving, and that's working together. I know a couple of you have mentioned those words previously this morning. Any ideas or ways forward must be based on the recognition that police can't address crime problems alone. Tackling crime and the underlying social problems requires working together. I'm talking about local solutions to deal with local problems and more than just policing problems. For police, it means working together with the council, with the CEO, community justice group, community police or community patrol, and obviously working together with other government agencies. The problem-oriented policing project I mentioned earlier was a good example of involving several players in the effort. So we're talking about two-way information flow, engaging the right people, providing information each way about crime and community problems, and obtaining feedback about local policing strategies and community support.
Yes. This working together, how does... can I ask Mark for you to address it, how this works in situations where there isn't other government presence on the ground or very little other government presence on the ground apart from the police? You know, it's going to be hard enough in the normal community, but in Indigenous communities, how can this work? Can you address that in any way?
Well, it's true that there are a number of challenges. It's easy to say, but quite difficult to make happen. One of the problems is the lack of government services that are actually permanently present in most of the communities, even across the justice system. The only one that's always there is the police. Some communities have corrective services, some have youth justice services, but they're really still a minority across all the communities. Look, I want to talk about formal consultation. It's a big part of working together, but police and community have expressed to us their frustration in that regard. They feel like they're stretched in too many directions. There's always too many meetings. It was something that was brought up quite a bit. Shane, you mentioned the ICPCGs, the consultative mechanism, earlier. We actually didn't find any, although I believe Greg Cruz at one stage had gone through that kind of mechanism. Another issue is the...
When you say you didn't find any, you mean on the Indigenous communities?
No, I think there's about 20 in Queensland, but in the communities that we visited, there were none currently in place, I believe.
And Chair, we'll go, obviously, through your provinces before. We'll look at the ICPCG and some of the impediments to that, I would suggest. I don't know.
Yeah. We're quite happy to...
Railroad your process.
Yeah, no, we'll come to that. We're happy to look at that.
Another issue is the complexity of the notion of community. As Andrew said before, there's language groups, clan groups, family groups, there's elders, there's traditional owners, there's all those people who are important in making up a community. So consultation, for example, might need to include all family groups, depending on what the situation or the issue is. Informal consultation may actually work better in some situations rather than formal mechanisms, or maybe you need a bit of both approaches. One of the things that come up from police when they were being pretty open with us is it can be a challenge to get consistent support over time in the communities. Police sometimes have issue with councils or with particular councillors. They don't believe they're strongly supported sometimes. The council just doesn't seem interested. Police, we've found, are generally pretty supportive of justice groups, but there's limits on the capacity of justice groups. You know, you're volunteers, and there's a lot of demands on you, both in that role and personally. On the other hand, we heard examples of good working relationships. There's mutual support, and police are working to the strengths of their councils and their justice groups. Mm-hmm.